This is a Global Class Struggle podcast.
Brought to you by Rebel Youth Magazine. Workers of the world, unite.
Black Friday, the day that follows America's Thanksgiving Day and the most profitable day of the year for retail giants like Walmart, took on a new meaning this year past. Walmart associates at 28 stores in 12 states walked off the job protesting company attempts to silence and retaliate workers for speaking out for improvements on the job, according to a United Food and Commercial Workers press release. The strike was small in scope, less than 1% of Walmart's American employees actually participated. But the strike is unique in concept. None of those striking workers who walked off the job were represented by a National Labor Relations Board certified labor union. They instead were members of the organization United for Respect at Walmart, Our Walmart, a not-for-profit association of Walmart employees under the direction of the United Food and Commercial Workers. This organization, founded just over a year ago in June 2011, is unique in the modern American labor movement. The legality of this strike by non-union workers is found in Section 7 of the National Labor Relations Act, which protects not only the right to form a trade union, but the right to engage in other concerted activities for the purpose of collective bargaining or other mutual aid or protection, as opposed to the Canadian law's strict definition of the freedom to join a trade union. This clause found an identical usage in the so-called minority unionism popular during the economic stagnation of the 1930s. High unemployment during the Depression impeded union organization efforts in large-scale employers. Bosses demanded low wages without strong opposition. At the same time, the threat of being fired for union activity carried the added weight that finding another source of employment was extremely difficult. U.S. unions instead devised a strategy that involved setting up proxy organizations which could be used to represent workers without the majority certification defined under the recently passed National Labor Relations Act. These organizations typically involved an official membership process which required dues and were backed financially by pre-existing unions. Though employers could refuse to recognize them as a collective bargaining agent, whereas majority unions brought the benefit of forced recognition, these minority unions could maintain in-plant committees, designate union stewards, and pass out leaflets. They established both an infrastructure of communication as well as a core of union activists who could organize the majority of workers around specific campaigns. Through these minority unions, drives towards certified majority unions could be conducted methodically, rather than hastily while still representing workers and even conducting legal strikes. Through this strategy, the traditionally non-union urban basic industries of America drastically increased in union density during the 1930s and 1940s.
The retail sector of which Walmart is a part is vastly non-union. This is due largely to the twofold difficulties faced by union organizers of a small workforce and a high employee turnover. With union revenues declining, organizing expenditures by unions are mostly at large workplaces, where a bigger number of dues-paying members would be the result of a successful organizing campaign. Additionally, a high turnover makes it difficult to make contact with new keys, workers willing to help in union organization, and card signers. Despite the best efforts of unions during the past decade in traditional organizing campaigns, retail workers are still vastly non-union in both the United States and Canada by a margin of greater than 90%. This recent reversion to tactics that have proven successful in the past may generate a wave of union activity in this traditionally non-union sector south of the border. Yet here in Canada, we are prevented from utilizing this tactic by our stringent labor laws. Our laws have no such clause for concerted activities and provide protected rights only for certified labor unions. Traditional organizing methods have yielded some gains, though they have been discouraged by the company's outright refusal to accept union certification. In Quebec, Walmart workers have opted to join a union twice, first in Jonquière in 2006 and then again nearby Gatineau in 2010. On both occasions, the retail giant has responded by simply laying off all the workers and relocating their store. In Weyburn, Saskatchewan, Walmart has responded to union certification by refusing to notify new employees that they are union members and threatening union representatives with trespassing charges, as well as refusing to collectively bargain with the union, even now 4 years after the union certification. Walmart workers in Canada can certainly relate to the disappointment, frustration, and need for action we're currently seeing in the U.S., says Wayne Hanley, the national president of UFCW Canada. Walmart has a long, notorious history of violating its Canadian employees' rights. And since it came to Canada, the retailer has become, without question, one of this country's most socially irresponsible employers. Questions from a Worker Who Reads by Bertolt Brecht. Who built the Seven Gates of Thebes? The books are filled with the names of kings. Was it kings who hauled the craggy loads of stone? And Babylon, so many times destroyed. Who raised that city up each time? In which of Lima's houses, glittering with gold, lived those who built it? On the evening that the Wall of China was finished, where did the masons go? Philip of Spain wept when his fleet went down. Was there no one else who wept? Frederick the Great won the 7 Years' War. Who won it with him? A victory on every page. Who cooked the victory feast? A great man every 10 years. Who paid the costs?